for today. Thank you that we can come together. Thank you for your word. And thank you for your victory, Lord, that you, Lord, conquered 2,000 years ago. We just, Lord, come to your word today to receive, to hear you speaking to us, to direct us, to empower us, and to, Lord, guide us into all freedom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, I can see some things here happening. And what I can see is that people are starting to apply some of the things that we've been talking about. You see, it's being doers of the word that makes the difference. If we are not doers of the word, we deceive ourselves. And instead of progressing, we end up regressing. See, the key is to experience that the word of God is true. And it produces what he sent it for. That is, we can count on what God has said. But there is a part we play. And the part we play is that we have to stand for that and not allow the other things to affect us. See, we have to realize that the authority and the power we have is not our own. It's in his name that we exercise that authority. It's in his name that we can operate. You know, and it's the same thing, you know, on the physical you can see the same thing happen when, a policeman. See, we are enforcers of God's righteousness, the same way as a policeman is the enforcer of the government rules and laws. See, if the policeman go and try to stop people in his own name and doesn't have the uniform on and says, go in the street and stop, nobody listened to him. But when he put the uniform on and people see him and he goes like that, you stop. See, this is the equivalent of what you do when you speak in Jesus' name and you know what you're saying. It's not just a formula. It's an attitude and it's a knowledge inside yourself of what his name stands for. And his name stands for who he is and what he has done. See, this is his name, is his authority. And so when we speak in Jesus' name, we are just the mouthpiece, but he is speaking through us. And this is all the power and the authority we get. So we become channels of what God wants to do. We have to realize that, and when we realize that, it's not anymore trying to be something or trying, it's not us anymore. It's him working in us. He lives in us. And this is the reality that we have to come to embrace, to understand, and accept. Must start with understanding. If we do not know and we try to do things in our own strength, we are not going to succeed because we don't have a basis for it. But our basis is his victory, is who he is, what God has done through him, and what he has achieved in us. But we had to enforce that. It's not automatic. You see? We had to believe that more than even our senses tell us. Because this is the problem. See, when we start depending on our senses, see, the physical world changes. It's not stable. The physical world can be one thing now and so the same your emotion. You cannot go on your feelings about these things. When your feelings are there, good, but when they aren't, doesn't make any difference. You see, it's not your feelings that counts, and this is a problem with many Pentecostals. You know, that they just to have the feelings and they have to have the leading. You don't need any leading. You need the word of God to tell you where you stand. The feelings come after. And sometimes you feel nothing and you get more results than when you feel everything. Why? Because it doesn't depend on you, is not you, is the spirit inside you, and spirit is not necessarily feeling. This is the way your body reacts, or you feel you react to what's going on. So you have to learn, you know, to be moved by what you believe and what the word about the word of God, about what the word of God says. Not what you see, not what you feel, not what anything, what people say. Even when there is no manifestation of anything, doesn't matter. If there is I'm not against manifestations, you know that. But that's not the big story. You know, in fact, if somebody falls on the floor, doesn't make any difference. Lots of time they fall on the floor all over the place in meetings, and nothing happens. The only thing they have is fall on the floor. Now, I'm not against that. You understand? Because God works in, you know, in working with people in different way, but it's not the falling. Sometimes I grab people not to fall because I want them to receive, not to fall on the floor. They get distracted. I want them to get the result they came for, not something else. You don't need a blessing. You need a breakthrough. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is important to understand because everybody goes after a blessing. Blessing, you know, doesn't get very far. I don't care if you get blessed and you get out of the place and you got nothing. A blessing that goes away. I want you to get the results you came for because that's what's going to change you. Praise the Lord. You know, in John chapter, no, we have to realize that. Let's go back to what I wanted to go to, you know. God expects something from you if you are a believer. You know what he expects from you? That you believe. It's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, this is what the only expectation he has. Because everything comes out of that. You see, people wait on God forever. And you really don't need to wait so much at all. You need to put to practice what he said you had to do. See, lots of people waste all their life waiting or for some direction, when instead God gives us all the direction we need in the Word. Now, you say, well, you know, it's pretty simple. It says to do something, do something. Based on faith. You believe what he said. If he said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, you put your hand on the sick and and you expect them to recover. Well, if they don't, it's not none of your business. If you are there waiting for something to happen, you know, and believe, you know, and needing to for something, no, you just do things in obedience to God. Then you're going to see the results because you have been obedient. And when you've been obedient in faith enough, you're going to get the results. But you see, it's not you that you had to, you see, it's his business. You are his channel, nothing else. And you had to trust him about what he said. So, you know, God is waiting for his body, for Jesus' body, for the church to start doing the things that he encharged the church to do. Simple as that. And he's waiting. See, why is Jesus waiting so long until, you know, he's coming back? He's waiting for us to do something. He's waiting for us to take a position. He's waiting for us to actually come do the work that he gave us to do. And when enough of that is done, he's going to come back. And I believe it's, you know, more and more people are seeing that and more are actually doing that this day. And religion is falling down, it's falling apart. Just see what happened in the religious scenes in this day. We are in the falling away. There is no way. But in the same time, the glory of God is being manifested amongst normal people. Why? Because the Holy Spirit brought the understanding, and people start to act on that understanding. You know, you say, "Well, who am I? Are you a believer?" If you are a believer, that's enough. You know, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, it's easy to remember. You see, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those who are born of women, there was not one risen greater than John the Baptist. But he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." I mean, and there is another scripture. See, generally, you take two scriptures really to base your doctrines on. If you go to Luke chapter 7, verse 28, it says, you know, "I say to you, among those who are born of women, there is no one greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." To be in the kingdom of God, you have to be a believer. Yes. Are you a believer?
Yes.
So are you greater than the greatest prophet that have been always the time in the Old Testament? Yes. Hello?
Yes.
Do you realize that? I mean, there were great prophets in the Old Testament. The least one of us is greater than they. I mean, don't start putting yourself down, because in God's eyes, you are greater. But that doesn't mean that you go around and say, "Oh, I'm greater." You know, that's not the issue. The issue is that, you know, you are connected with God. You see, that's what the meaning, in a greater way. There is more of a relationship between you and God than there was in these people in the Old Testament, no matter what great action they did. Because they weren't even born again. Instead, he is inside you. So that's the position you come from. See, Jesus defeated completely Satan so that you can have the authority. See, the scripture we often repeat on Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, you know, and I read you the amplified version because it's showing it better. It says, Jesus disarmed and stripped all authority and power of the principalities and powers that were arranged against us, and make a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. See, he made a public example. I mean, so that everybody could see. But you know, even today, many people can't see it. The example is, you know, it's the same thing today. I mean, you can have miracles happening. And unless you are open to see, you don't see it in front of you happening. And you say, "Well, there are no miracles in the church today." I look at them and say, "Who has eyes to see can see, and who has ear to hear can hear." That's the only thing you can come to the conclusion. Praise the Lord. So, see, what we have to realize is that we have to exercise the authority and the power. All power and authority is given to Jesus. I know Matthew 28:18. So all power, I mean all power. Not some of it, all power, and it's given to us. So we have all power. We may not feel about it, we may not think about this or so, but we actually do. And the thing we have to realize and understand is how to release that power. How to use it. It's like, you know, you have a bazooka in you and you try to fight with your punches, you know. You can blow up a whole building, but you're trying to go there, you know, with your fingers to push it off. You know, it's a complete crazy situation because of ignorance, because of not understanding, because the devil put a veil on people's eyes, even believers, and they had to get to the place in which that veil is removed, and they can see what is there in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, what I'm saying, here is that there is this great power, but we have to use it. We have to put it to work. We have to exercise it. Okay? Realizing that, you know, the enemy is going to fight you back. The way he's going to do it is by tempting you. And the way he's tempting you is putting you ideas and situations that make you think contrary to the word of God. You see, this is what temptation is all about. Temptation is the same way as it did it with Adam and Eve. You know, they put a thought in you that is against what God said to you, and you accept that thought, and then I'm going to act according to the new idea that he put in there. But he has no other power. He can just see the way he did it with Jesus. Well, we have a promise in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says that no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to men. No temptation. But God is faithful. Can you say God is faithful? How is he faithful? Well, it says it here. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. See, this is something that you have to... See, how can you have faith that you're going to be able to make it if you think that, you know, the devil can push you around? The devil cannot push you around. But you have to take a position. See, the more leeway, the more room you give to him, the more he's going to take. You know the way kids do? You give an inch, they take a yard. Well, he is worse than a kid. Okay? He tries to get as much as he can from you. He's a crook. But you have to... See, as soon as you realize he's trying to take inch in, you have to cut him off, because it's so much easier to cut off an inch than to get back a yard. So you end up wasting your time after. Do it at the beginning. Be watchful. You watch what's going on in the spirit world, because it's, you know, that's where the place, where that's where the temptation takes place. Inside you, the outside is just the circumstances. And he uses circumstances, he uses people, he uses whatever it is. Use the weather, use whatever you want. You know, Jesus stopped the storm. The same power is given to you. Says God, do you? Well, there are so many examples, so many testimony of people in which they saw, you know, a hurricane or a twist there coming toward them, and, you know, got to a certain distance. They took authority, and the things turned around and just went around their house and passed by. I mean, there are so many of stories like that. But if they would have not taken authority, the things would have blown them up too. Hello? At the moment, they believed. And they exercised the authority and says, just get out of here. Just don't come even closer here. I could tell you some story that I did myself, but that's not for today. We don't have much time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, we have more than we can ever imagine. You know, but, you know, just praying, but just that is not going to work just by itself. You know, the battle we are in is a battle that is real. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, you know, put on the whole armor of God. And we're going to spend some time on this. That you may be able to stand against the strategies of the devil. You see, understanding the strategies of the devil is key. Because otherwise we are going to waste our time fighting situations, fighting people, fighting things, when instead, you know, that's not where you're going to win. What you're going to win is to when you understand the strategy so that you have a counter strategy. See, the way he works is simple. He doesn't have much imagination. He always does the same thing, and he is very good at it. What the way works is that may work in your making believe the wrong thing. Working in not believing what Jesus accomplished in you. Making, you know, not believing who you are in Christ. Making believe that he is powerful. Making believe that God's promises, well, maybe when he feels like it's going to happen and when he doesn't feel like it's not going to happen. You see, if we start believing those things, just he got you. This is his strategy. So once you know his strategy, you develop the opposite. I mean, you take the other position. See, the armor of God is not something physical. It's an attitude that you have to have inside yourself. They make you stand where you are, and thus nothing is going to move you. I shall not be moved means that really that inside you took a position, and you're staying to hold there. Doesn't matter what's going on, because he's going to try to push you. He's a bully. But you have a bazooka. Hello. Amen. See, this is where we have to learn. See, we have a part we play. That's what that is going to make the difference in the end time church. And we are getting there. We had to get there because the world is getting so messy and the devil is pushing people around all over the place, and you know, and the church is becoming so weak in general. They don't believe anything anymore. But you see what's happening. The angels are separating the goats from the sheep. They want to believe what God says, and they want to believe everything else. And guess who's going to win? Have you read the end of the book? See, we are going to judge the world. And this is not going to happen because sometime, you know, you wake up and it is going to happen because you start getting the understanding and you start getting the victory. See, the judgment is not a question of putting them down. The judgment is to speak in the word and make it happen. It's not being negative. It's not being putting people down. It's actually implementing the kingdom of God down here, because this is what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to make another religion. They made Christianity a religion. The church is the establishing element of the arm from God to establish his kingdom. When Jesus left, what the apostles asked him, when is the kingdom going to be established? Why? Because that's what he taught. You know, he didn't go around trying to get people to say sinner's prayer. He preached the kingdom. What does it mean to preach the kingdom? Mark 16. In my name, they shall cast out demons. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, whatever. This is the kingdom. That's the demonstration of the kingdom. Not in word, not in theory, not in theology, in power. That your faith may be based on the power of God, not the wisdom of man. I want to see that happening. I want to see that taking place, not because of just some preacher goes around preaching in there, because the people, the church, start manifesting what God expects the church to do. If you agree with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Well, we have lots of testimonies today, but sometimes it's good to see that God is doing something and not just give glory to him because he does some problems. You know, he's a loser, and we have to get mad. You know, I want to about being mad. You know, people think that to be a Christian is always be sweet and so on. It is not so. Jesus wasn't always sweet. He was nice to the people that need help, but was tough with the people that weren't. And he was certainly tough with the devil. We need to be mad at the devil. Because he takes advantage of the poor people. And it's our job to set them free. It's our job to bring, you know, to preach the gospel, the goodness of God, to set them free, not to put them down. You know, to lift them up. It's our job to communicate that. We have to realize that when we start doing our part, then God can move and set people free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Good. So we can close. I had something I wanted to say. It doesn't come now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. You know, I want to start preaching about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because for people to come into a... See, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not the end of the story. That's just the beginning. Okay? It's not the final development of the person, the believer. It's the way God teaches us to operate the way He wants us to. Because when we are developed properly, we don't even need them anymore. You can say, when you get that? The Bible. But we need them. We need them today. All right. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we know that, Lord, in you, we are more than conquerors. That Jesus had the victory. And because of what Jesus has done for us, He has qualified us to operate in His name. Because we believe in Him. Because we are His representative. Lord, teach us to say only what Jesus would say and nothing else. Help us to walk the way Jesus walked, not like man walks. We are not anymore, the word says that we are not anymore mere men, but we are believers. Let us be what you called us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you.